Well, again, welcome to Christ Redeemer. If today's your first day with us at Redeemer, I want to say welcome to us. If you saw some stuff on Facebook, or maybe just your Lenten penance was to get back to Mass, maybe a 2017 New Year's resolution, whatever brought you here to Christ Redeemer today, just want to say welcome. A bunch of saints and sinners in here today, and if you're just one of those, whether you find yourself to be a saint or a sinner, or maybe somebody who's just trying to take one step closer to God, I want to say welcome to all of us as we come together for Lent. So welcome to Lent. Maybe all of the ashes and the purple and all of the changes are very familiar to you. Maybe they're not familiar to you. However, I want to say welcome to Lent. Three indications in your life that you need Lent, and you need Lent to be big. Three indications that God is inviting you into something big this Lent. Here's the first indication, number one, because you need 2018 to be better than 2017. Some of us are happy that 2017's in bed. Somebody, we're glad that it's gone. You couldn't wait to get 2018 around the corner. Maybe 2017 threw you some curveballs in your health, your finances, and your family. And if it was just one of those years, and you're just glad that it's over, and you're hoping that 2018's better than 2017, then that's an indication, whether you knew it or not, that you need Lent to be big. Number two, second indication that God has something in store for you, you're tired. I don't know why you're tired, but you're tired. Maybe it's because of the fatigue of 17, working a lot, maybe just trying to make ends meet. Maybe it's a physical fatigue, but you know, for a lot of us, I think an indication that God wants more for us is the interior fatigue. You're just tired. Tired of your job, tired of where you are in life, might be tired of your marriage, tired of your kids acting the way they do, just tired of being in a rut, tired of secrets. Secrets can drain you. You know, addictions or hidden sins, things that we don't tell anybody. Secrets can take a lot of energy out of us. And if you're tired in any way, for any reason, you need Lent to be big. Third indication, and this is the one that I think, if I can be honest, I think a lot of us are. Third indication you need Lent to be big is because the first two had nothing to do with you. And you're content. Life is good. 2017 was a good year. You're happy about 2018, but man, 2017 was good. You're not tired. Don't have any secrets. Things are good, and you're just kind of coasting and sitting back in life saying, yeah, life is good. And that's where I get concerned. Because content seduces more Christians than sin does. See, when you're content, you keep your guard down. And when you're content, you're just kind of looking at God, thinking that you can stay still in life. You can't stay still in a spiritual life. You're either moving toward Him, or believe it or not, you're moving away from Him. It's like being at Grand Isle in the water, and you're just going out with the tide. You don't think you're doing anything. You're just enjoying life, and you're content in your spiritual life, and you're just kind of moving away, and you don't know what really happened. The next thing you know, you just turned around. We call it the slow fade. And you're like, huh. Where's God? If you're content, we need God to be big this Lent. Now, my question for you is, do you expect anything to happen in your life this Lent? Like, God wants Lent to be big for a lot of us. Do you expect anything to happen? Because for a lot of us, we're not expecting anything to happen this Lent, because our experience shapes our expectation, and our expectation shapes our experience. One more time, ready? Our experience shapes our expectation, and our expectation shapes our experience. Say that with me. You ready? Here we go. Our experience shapes our expectations, and our expectations shape our experience. One more time. Our experience shapes our expectations, and our expectations shape our experience. It's important for us to learn from our experience, because they shape our expectations. So if last Lent nothing really happened in your life, then are you expecting anything to happen this Lent? Because if your experience of Lent last year, and the year before that, and 12 years ago, and last year, whatever it was, if your experience tells you that nothing really happens with God, then you're sitting up here on this Sunday, and you're not expecting anything to happen. I say it's Lent, I'm excited about Lent. You see my excitement, you're like, why is he so excited that it's Lent? Because we're not really expecting anything to happen. Because you see, this is what happens. I'm going to put a microphone in your head. 20 minutes ago. Ready? Here we go. Y'all were out here. You were in the parking lot. You got here and like, man, there's still people in the parking lot from the 9 o'clock mass. God, that means 11 o'clock's going to be long. Christ the Redeemer needs to do something about the parking around here. For God's sake, people parking on the culverts. So you walked all the way through, you came through the doors, you saw the ushers. You said the same thing today that you said every time you see the ushers. You said this, you said, why do ushers always have burgundy jackets? Man, it's like every church I go to, the ushers always have burgundy jackets. Is this like an usher thing that I didn't know about? Huh. Then you sat down, scoot on over. Right. Because that's what you had to do. You see, you sat here because you like sitting on the edge, right? And somebody had the audacity to come in and say, they gave you the polite look like, could you move over? So you moved over. Now you're mad because I always sit on the edge. Who's this person coming over sitting on the edge? You sat down in the church. You're hoping, I hope the person on the side of me is not mad that I kicked them on over, right? So you're sitting in the pew. Now it's 5 minutes before Mass and you're just thinking to yourself, let me tell you what you're thinking when you're sitting in Mass. You realize all of a sudden you forgot your envelope and your money in the car. And your hearing aid, right? So then you said, man, I always leave the money in the envelope in the car. All right, what I'll do is I'll just give twice next week. Right, that makes sense. Then all of a sudden, somebody sat in front of you that you know, and they're going to give you the basket, and if you pass the basket without putting any money in, you're going to look like a fool, right? And you only got a 20 in your wallet anyway, right? In your pockets, you're like, all I got is a 20. I don't want to break the 20. Can I break change in the offering plate? That would kind of look awkward. So, then let me tell you what you were thinking that nobody wants to admit. You were thinking, when somebody walked in, you said, I cannot believe they wore that to church. Oh, I know you. I can see what you're thinking. And then this is what happened. Because I know your head. Stay right there. I'm going to let you sit back over there in a minute, all right? So then finally you got quiet. And this is the first time you've been quiet all week, right? Because we all run fast, we all live fast, right? So now it's quiet and you're like, whew, it's Lent. Cool, Lent. And right there, we come face to face with our need for God. You can scoot on over now. Now, I was... Yeah, that's your head, and I'm over here, I'm excited, and I belted out this opening prayer at the beginning of Mass, and this is what I said at the beginning of Mass, that's what you were saying at the beginning of Mass. At the beginning of Mass, I said this, I said, grant Almighty God through the yearly observances of Holy Lent that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ. First line from the church on your side of the fence today was, hey, welcome to Lent. We want to welcome you to a time where you could experience the riches hidden in Christ. And you would, amen. And you were kind of sitting over there just thinking, where's my money? So this is what happens. This is where we're going with this series. This is week one of a series called Rescued. The reason we have this series is because the church offers you this amazing thing for Lent. And it just seems for a lot of people something kind of far away. Riches hidden in Christ. What is that? I just wanted to get the ashes on Ash Wednesday and lose a couple pounds during Lent. Riches hidden in Christ. What is that? You see, we don't have the expectation that anything's going to happen because our experience has not been that. Our life hasn't been changed in Lent's past, so we sit in the church on this Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, and we're not expecting anything to happen. But imagine, for those of you who need this year to be better than last year, imagine if it was. And imagine for those of us who are tired, would you like to not be tired anymore? And imagine for those of us who are content, if you were rescued from that, liberated from that posture of disengagement, imagine if your life could be changed this Lent. Because that's what we're offering you, and that's what we're inviting you to. Everybody open up the bulletin to the homily notes. I want to share a quote with you. I want to share an invitation to you that comes right out of our Holy Father Pope Benedict in his first letter to us entitled God is Love. It's on page 3 underneath the gospel. It's the second bullet. Pope Benedict XVI once said, and I quote, you can read it in silence on the bulletin with me, being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but an encounter with an event, a person who gives one's life a new horizon and a decisive direction. Pope Benedict says, being Christian is not the result of what you chose to do for God, but what God chose to do for you. Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice. It's not about what you chose to do, like giving up Coke or chocolate or a candy for Lent, or about your choice for Jesus. That's not what being Christian is all about. Being Christian is about, it's not about anything superficial. It's about an encounter with an event, with a person. I have encountered the person, and the person, believe it or not, has given my life a new horizon and a decisive direction. Because of the person, I now see things differently, and I'm moving in the right direction. So God invites you this Lent. He brought you to Mass today because He wants all of us together to encounter Him in such a way that our life would have a new horizon and a decisive direction. Do you want that? Do you want this Lent to be an encounter? Do you want your life to be an encounter? Because we have to expect that to happen in our lives. Amen? So here's the thing. God brought you here to Mass today, and we open up with the Gospel, which comes from the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And in the Gospel of Mark, it says that Jesus was driven into the desert. Why was He driven, and why the desert? Well, because the desert is an image of encounter. Let me tell you a story about the first time that people were led to the desert. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were in Egypt. They were enslaved to the Egyptians for 400 years. And when you are away from God, you forget God. And when we forget God, we begin to worship other gods. And in Egypt, the Israelites were worshiping the gods of the Egyptians. So God led them to the desert, not to bring them into a new soil, but to renew their soul. And God brought them into the desert to liberate them from their pagan gods. He brought them to Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, that's where He spoke to Moses, right? That's when Charlton Heston went up the mountain. You all saw the movie, right? And He gives Charlton Heston, Moses, the Ten Commandments. And it was a powerful encounter that the people had with God. And crazy things happened in the desert. Like all of a sudden, God became real. God was not invisible. God chose a people. And He says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And for 40 years, He led them through the desert to train them how to be His people, and He would be their God. And He gives them a new land. And when they get to the chosen land, they're not the only people living there. Like the Assyrians are around them, and they don't worship God. And what happens when you get content is you forget God. The chosen people were content. They forgot God. They begin to worship the other gods around them. And they lost their way. And all of a sudden, God spoke to them 800 years after they got there, 500 years before Jesus came around, and the prophet Hosea. Back to the quote in the bulletin notes. This is what happens. Look back in the bulletin. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 2, verse 14, I will lead you into the desert and speak to your heart. Let me say that again. God brings them to the desert. I will lead you to the desert and speak to your heart. Say that with me. I will lead you into the desert and speak to your heart. One more time. I will lead you into the desert and speak to your heart. God wants to speak to their heart, so he brings them to the desert. God wanted to speak to Jesus, so he brought him to the desert. God wants to speak to you, so he welcomes you to Lent, where he wants to bring us to the desert to what? To speak to our heart. Would you like God to speak to your heart? If 2017 was a bad year, you need God to speak to your heart. If you're tired, you need God to speak to your heart. If you still have secrets, you need God to speak to your heart. And if you are content, God wants to speak to your heart. Amen? And he brings you to the desert. He brings you to Lent. And he says, this Lent can be big if you're ready for an encounter. You want an encounter with God. Because that's what God wants. Last quote from the bulletin. Go back to the bulletin with me. The bottom of the notes there. It comes from the Catechism, number 2567. Number 2567 from the Catechism says this. That God calls man first. You can read it in silence with me right there. It says, God calls man first. Man may forget God. He may hide far from his face. He may run after idols or accuse God of having abandoned him. But the living and true God tirelessly calls each person to that mysterious encounter known as prayer. In prayer, God's initiative always comes first. Our own first step is always a response. End quote. Who's taking the initiative for the encounter? God is. Now here's the thing. My life, your life is explained in that quote right there. Four things happen in life. Four things that we need to be aware of because we can be dying. And if you were dying, would you not want somebody to tell you? If you had sickness in your heart, would you not want somebody to tell you? This is what the church says. It says the first thing, we may forget God. Here's how you know you forgot God. Because you just got busy. Because life is busy. We're all living too fast. We're all doing way too many things. And when we get too busy, we forget God. Or when we get content, we forget God. That's the first pattern. Second pattern in the catechism says, then we run after idols. Because when we forget God, and God made our soul, our souls don't stop wanting God. But when we're not getting it from God, we're going to get it from somewhere else. So this is what happens. You go through midlife, and you buy a boat. You don't know how to drive a boat, and you don't fish, but you bought a boat. You want to know why? Because your neighbor has a boat. And your boat is bigger than his boat. Or you forget God, so you run after idols. PG-13 comment here, but let's just be honest. We alter our bodies. Why? Because the world says that you have to be as beautiful when you're later in life as you were when you were younger in life. You have an affair. Because you're not happy in your marriage. And you peek on the other side of the fence and you think that's going to make you happy in life. You see, when we forget God and we run after idols, then what happens? Well, we hide from God. This is what hiding from God sounds like. I just got busy. I'm not in that season of life anymore. I'm mad at the church. I just need some time by myself. Let me tell you what that is. That's hiding from God. Because when we forget God and we run after idols, last thing we want to do is be held accountable to a God who can see the idols. And then what happens is somebody got cancer, or somebody died, or you lost your job, or your kids got busted with drugs, or something happened. And when that happens and we're not with God, then we just get mad at him and we blame him. Hey, it's all your fault. You see, you could have stopped it. You could have stopped the drugs. You could have stopped the cancer. You could have stopped the death. It's all your fault. We accuse God of having abandoned us. That's the pattern of humanity right there. We forget God, run after idols, hide far from his face, and just accuse him. It's all his fault. And he never stops. He never stops reaching out to us. My family was at Mass at 9 o'clock. My sister was in from Houston. And, you know, they call me all the time. I never call them back. they ask me to do things and I show up late or I leave early or I just don't go at all. And I had a powerful moment with my sister. She called one night and I said, I can't come. She says, hey, I'm not going to stop calling. And I started crying. Because there's a part of my heart that just gets worried. Is my family going to stop? Are they just going to get tired of me saying no? There's a liberating part of our relationship. She said, I'm not going to stop calling. Because I worry. Is he ever going to get tired? He calls me close and I push him away. He calls me close and I come close and things are good. And all of a sudden I got turned around by life. And he wants to be a part of I push him away. He wants that sin and I push him away. I often worry, I don't know about you, but I worry, is he ever going to get tired of me? What did the church just say? God tirelessly reaches out to us. He never gets tired of reaching out to us. He is reaching out to you right now. He's going to reach out to you tomorrow. He's going to reach out to you on Tuesday. Next Sunday, he's still reaching out to you. 10 years from now, he's calling out to you. God never gets tired of calling us into the desert to speak to our heart so that we can encounter him, so that we might have a new horizon and a decisive direction. Here's the good news. If you walked in today and you were giving God one more shot, he is calling you to more. If you walked in today and you needed God to say something to you, what he is saying to you is that he is calling you to him to speak to your heart. And if you got caught up in a bunch of things in life and you just need help, it is here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we need to cooperate with him. The Jewish people had to say yes, and we have to say yes. So in closing, I want to invite all of us to this Lent. Now, we have prayed as a staff. Father Bryce and I have prayed as a team. Together we have asked God, what does he want for us this Lent? And what we keep hearing from the Lord is simple and slow. However, every Wednesday night at 6:30, we are going to pray in the church. It's called 33:11. It comes from Exodus 33:11, when God would speak to Moses as one man speaks to another. You come on Wednesday night at 6:30. We'll have the Blessed Sacrament exposed here, a bunch of candles on the altar. We're going to drop the lights, some music in the background, and just let you pray. What you need from Lent is not Father Mark. What you need from Lent is Jesus. What we need from Lent is not giving up Coke and losing some weight. We need Jesus. What we need from life, if 2017 was hard, you don't need 2018. You need Jesus. And if you're tired, you don't need more rest or more toys. You need Jesus. And if you're content, stop looking at pleasure of just liking where you are. You need Jesus. We need him this Lent. And so I'm going to ask, and I won't do this a lot, but I'm going to ask this Sunday. I want you to listen to me. I'm inviting every one of us to come on Wednesday night. Every one of us. I don't know what we're going to do when everybody gets here, but we'll break the walls down. We have babysitting. So if you said, I can't come because of the kids, we have babysitting. We're going to have refreshments after 5:30 Mass if you don't have time to eat. Okay, we got that covered. We're doing everything we can to help you get to know him. 6:30 to 8-ish, every Wednesday during Lent, 33:11, I'm asking that you come for an encounter with the Lord. Amen? Now, if you can't come because of whatever reason, then those cards can help you. But let's ask God to make this Lent the best we've ever had, so that by Easter, every one of us can have life with a new horizon, a decisive direction because of encounter. Amen.